He is in the bubble. He is our he's our boy, assistant GM of the Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're good, man. We are good. Have you been to Africa?
No, I've not been to Africa.
No. What's the most...
on the bucket list.
What's the most exotic place you've been to?
Exotic? I don't know. Maybe...
Lake George.
Lake George, that sounds... Yeah, I've been there a few times. You know, obviously Hawaii, you know, the usuals, but nothing nothing exotic, I don't think.
No. The JW Marriott in Edmonton.
I'm standing in the gym right now.
Are you?
Just going over, and I forgot. I'm like, oh, I got to call the boys.
Nice.
Yeah. Working out? You're up pretty early.
You know what? I got to do something. There's not game days. Like, there's one game yesterday. It's a long day, guys. It's a long day in the bubble.
Now, did you move? You know, is today moving day for the team, or was that yesterday?
That's today, yeah. We're moving over to the JW, I think, at 10 o'clock management, and then 11 o'clock players.
So is that a big undertaking? Because we were given a good, pretty good look as to what the bubble looked like when things were getting set up. Now teams have obviously left the bubble, and you're still there. What's that move going to be like for you?
You know, I mean, I think it's going to be good only because the hotel's attached to the, you know, right to the rink, so it makes a huge difference. And they block off one of the streets. You got to wait for traffic. They got to open up these gates, and then you can kind of walk through. So it's just going to, you know, it's going to free up, as soon as everybody's out of that hotel, it's going to free up the traffic for sure. They're probably going to be happy that there's less guys coming and going all the time. So, you know, other than that, just, you know, it kind of shrinks the bubble. It maybe takes one restaurant out of the mix of the four that we have. So, you know, it's definitely, you use a lot of the same spots, and it's a little monotonous. It feels like Groundhog Day. Like, if you ask me, I know what day it is now because it's Monday, but before that, someone asked me what day, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what day it is, to be totally honest. It gets a little crazy here, for sure.
The restaurant thing, is that like... Yeah. When we were playing, it was always buffets after games and playoffs. Is that the way it is, or is it, like, how?
So we have breakfast, and then, you know, Obi will have breakfast set up, and then obviously game day is exactly the same. Like, all the meals are it's in a buffet, but, like, it's behind a big glass rack, and then you walk up, and you yell to them by side. You know, I remember I was looking at the, I'm like, hey, can I get some cucumbers? She's throwing the bacon. I'm like, I like bacon too, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. I'll have a little bit, you know, because you have the mask on. They're behind the glass. You're trying to order, and you're like, yeah, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Sure, potato, asparagus, no problem. I'll just, whatever you want to put on there.
Yeah, just put it on there. I'll eat it.
It's a little bit different. Like, you know how you just like to go grab what you want, and then, but now you have people serving you the whole time, so... It makes for interesting with those masks and this big plexiglass in front of it. I'm like, you can't hear anything. I can't hear what they're saying. They don't know what I'm saying. I just point now. I like that.
That bacon, green olive, and Greek yogurt parfait for breakfast. Delicious.
Yes. I'm like, they all go together. I'm like, everything's good.
Yeah. So, So what have you been spending your time doing? Because like you say, when there is one game, have you been going to the games when they've been on? How many have you seen?
Yeah, no, I've seen every game here. Yeah, and every game here. So three of it, and this rink is the coldest rink I've ever been in. I don't even know how they make it this cold. Like, it's freezing. By the third game on those three and threes, it was, I couldn't wait to get back to the room. I'm like, this thing is ridiculous. But, yeah, you know, it definitely kills the time for me. I mean, the guys have simulators, and they're playing ping pong in their lounges, and, you know, they got video games. They got a ton of stuff they're doing, but, I don't know about ton, but, you know, they have more things, and then we just kind of, go to the games, and then go to practices, go to the watch practice, and then watch the games. Other than that, there's not much to do.
How's the testing been? Because I know, obviously, that's a huge focus for the league, and for this to remain a success, the testing is huge. What's it like going through that?
You know, you wake up in the morning and you have an app called Clear App on there, and you go through all the questions, and then you go down and you look in this machine, and it takes your temperature, and it tells you if you're all clear. And if you're all clear, with temperature and all the things, you get a green pass, and that you have to show that everywhere. And if you happen to go red, if you have a temperature, you have to go to the nurse, and then they walk you through a protocol, and then you get a wristband, and everybody stays away from people with wristbands just in case. So, you know, and then once a day we go to the COVID testing, depending upon what, you know, I think today it might be at 4 o'clock or 2 o'clock, sorry. So,
and then
yeah,
you,
we go in.
And then you get the Q-tip up the nose?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? They've been going back and forth, throat, nose. They don't want to, you know, just do one. They're going back and forth. Fun.
But it must be pretty impressive to see, because I know there's the one aspect, we watch it on TV and it looks great and all that work, but so much behind the scenes that we can't see. I would guess the medical side of it must be amazing to watch.
Well, it's amazing that, you know, after being in an Olympics, to see what they do at an Olympics, you know, and they got 3, 4, 5 years to get ready for an Olympics. What these guys have done in 3 weeks in Edmonton is, I give the NHL credit. Like, it's a big undertaking, and just to get it going and to pull it off as well as they are, it's amazing. You know, it really is. They've done a great job, and you can't, you know, I never thought it was going to be quite this good in that short of time.
So your team is through. What's your main takeaway, or what are the takeaways? You've had some time to let it sit now. The victory over the Jets, you've had some days to think about it.
You know, I mean, I thought we got better as it went along. I didn't like our first period in the first three games. You know, I thought we started slow every game. I thought we were better the last game. But, you know, overall, I thought it was getting better, you know, and that's all you're looking for. I thought Cam Talbot played great, you know, especially the last game. You know, he looked dialed in, so that's a positive for us. And, you know, overall, the four lines just kind of all contributed, and they were, you know, good work ethic. Power play was hit or miss, but hopefully they're, you know, they're fine-tuning some stuff. And, yeah, other than that, it was good. I mean, you know what? They had some injuries. We took advantage, and that's what you got to do in the playoffs. That's the bottom line.
You can maybe tell us now, because going into the last series, we didn't know who was going to start game one. We certainly do now. What was the conversations, I know, between Jeff Ward, I'm sure maybe you were involved to a certain extent, Cigalette, the decision-making process, what were the parameters that you guys used in determining who was going to go and ultimately coming to Cam Talbot?
I mean, it was really it was the scrimmages. Obviously, it was practices, but more it was the scrimmages in Calgary. You know, Cam played really well. You know, I think Cam came in and you know, they both had a good camp. We just thought Cam was better. I mean, we had a better camp, and then, you know, going into the first exhibition game, you know, it was kind of, well, they both let in a couple, you know, it was hard. It wasn't a great game for either of them. And we just thought because Cam had a better camp and that, hey, you know what? And he has a little experience. And that was kind of the mindset. It wasn't an easy decision. It could it have gone either way. Yeah, it probably could have. But, you know, we just felt like Cam was the guy that was a little bit of ahead at the time.
And what I know from where we sat, we were talking last week, he just seemed to be really mentally prepared. And I know it sounds like a goofy kind of a media question, but there's a lot of attention this whole between the bubble and the layoff, and now you come back and it's hurry, right? Like Treliving was saying, it's like trying to drink out of a fire hose. He looked very comfortable. Not everyone has. Some people have looked very overwhelmed by the moment. This, with everything going on, he looked very good. He looked very poised. Have you seen him look this composed?
You know, it was, he's been calm, you know, even the day of the last game, I'm on the elevator, Cam gets on the elevator, Hellebuck gets on the elevator. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. and it was kind of the stare down in the elevator. I was like, oh boy, here we go. You know, but, you know, he just seems dialed in right now and, you know, very focused. You see him, you know, in from practice to his preparation, everything he's doing, you know, he just seems locked in and focused. So, yeah, you know, you're right. He's got a calm demeanor. And, you know, I think the guys kind of feed off that, you know, kind of the way Kipper was, a little different than Kipper, but, you know, the same, you know, very focused, calm, quiet demeanor.
What are the games like? Like, you're sitting there on TV. They've done a great job, I think. It's been really entertaining. And I don't know what else you can do, but I got to imagine when you're sitting in the rink, it's got a really unique feel to it.
It's weird. You know what, it's better on TV, to be totally honest. Like, because you hear everything. It feels like a scrimmage, and they score. Yeah, that's it, boys. And then the music will start. I'm like, when's the music coming on? Give us something here. You know, so you can hear every little thing, you know, and then it does. It feels like a scrimmage. You look around the rink, and it's just, you know, but on TV, they've done a great job, you know, so... You know, I think I'm like, oh, I kind of like watching on TV. If you're kind of watching the arena, it's fun. You know, it was really cool the first day, you know, to see all the games. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then now after we've been here for a while, I'm like, okay, it's kind of lost its sex appeal. You know, it's like, you want those fans. You look back to old videos and you see the fans going crazy. And you're like, it could be such huge momentum swings and help you. And then now it's just dead quiet. I mean, you can hear, that is, boys, offsides. I mean, you can hear everything on the bench. Change them up, boys. Change them. You're like, really? Can hear everything? So, you know, I think the boys have got to watch out what they say, too, because it travels for sure.
I was talking with Reg last week, and he thinks that this is a huge benefit for young guys. They don't have to deal, with going into the Philly and playing against the Flyer fans as well. Do you think there's advantages in some ways, or is it just different?
Well, I mean, I do think there's an advantage. I mean, if a goalie's having a tough game, you're in an opposing bar. You know how hard that is on a goalie. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year they were on us in Colorado, and it's just like, oh, as they start making the comeback, I think it was game three, you know, when they scored. We were up a couple, and all of a sudden, I mean, it was a huge momentum swing, and they were, you know, now, you know, I don't know if you feel any, not that you don't feel any pressure, because it is a Stanley Cup playoffs, but a guy for like Dubé, he's like, oh, he's just out there playing. He doesn't, you know, you don't feel the highs and lows of the crowd and what's going on. You just, oh, we got scored on, let's go, you know, and that's kind of it. So it, for sure, I think for the young guys, and I think it probably helps the goalies too, because, you know, there's not nearly as much heat on them.
I wonder there too, because I wanted to ask. Craig Conroy is our guest here on the show. With what took place between Scheifele and Tkachuk in Game One, it was from the outside, and I know on the inside you can probably control a little bit as to how much media they're getting, but on the outside, obviously it was red hot. We had Paul Maurice going off. You had Wheeler talking. Everybody was talking. What was it like for Matthew? Because I think we forget sometimes that this is a 22-year-old kid. He's quickly becoming a face, or the face of the franchise. He's very much, despised might be harsh, but he's. I just wonder. He's still 22. What are the conversations that do you have with him? Does Brad? How do you as a team work about keeping him from? I guess just keep him. It could be a lot for anybody, let alone when you're 22 and you have the other coach and everybody's just raining down criticism on this guy. Because he would have felt, I do believe, when he said that he felt bad about it, I think that's sincere. What was handling his emotions like immediately after that?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, you're like, you got to let him know we have his back. I mean, we didn't think it was intentional. He says it wasn't. I mean, I just went in, I was going to finish my check, that was it. You know, but I do think it was everywhere, even in here. You know, it got to the point even where I was thinking the same thing, like, we got to keep him away from the TVs, the media, like, it's just, you know, and I do think it bothered him. I do think, you know, I think they're friends, you know, and the last thing, hey, does Matthew want to play hard? Does Matthew want to finish this? 100%, that's what he's doing. But does he want to hurt a guy and put him out and maybe end his career? Like, you know, but then the next day you see Scheifele. I think it did bother him. And then the next game, I don't think he was at his best. But then when you saw Scheifele walking around and he didn't have a boot on, and he was walking totally fine. I mean, I walked behind him game three to the hotel after the COVID testing because we tested at the same time. I'm like, he looks totally fine. I'm like, I wonder if he's got a high ankle sprain, because you can walk straight with a high ankle sprain, just can't, you know, and he had like sweatpants, but I could see like where his Achilles was, and I didn't see any cuts, you know, so I thought, you know, at least, and I think when Matthew saw him walking around, it definitely made it easier, you know, and it helped him out for the next game, because I don't think he played his best game, and I do think it bothered him. And like you said, he's human, you know, you don't like hearing that stuff about yourself all the time, especially when you know it's not true and you really can't say much. You know, you've said it, and they just keep coming back day after day saying the same thing. I think it was, for us, it was, we were getting a little upset that, hey, okay, enough, let it go. It was an accident. We've said it was an accident. You know, he wasn't trying to end his career. But, you know, I do think after that, Matthew saw him, he was much, much better.
So you keep mentioning running into the other teams, you know, Hellebuck on the elevators, and that happens sometimes during a regular year. Is that annoying? Is that awkward? Do you think that it's not going to boil
weird.
Over? I can't imagine. But yeah, I wouldn't like it. I mean, you're in game five of a series and you've got some hate on for each other and Matt Cook walks by, I'm going to punch him in the nose.
Well, that's the way you kind of, you know, and that's even like we were talking about moving over to the JW today, but we were saying a couple of the guys, some people will be on the same floor as the only floor we have. Anybody would happen to be St. Louis. So we would have a few guys on the St. Louis floor. So I was thinking, I don't know if I want to move over there. If we play St. Louis, I don't think I want to move over there just because of that. I don't like it. I mean, I'm in management, and I don't like seeing the guys. Like the day of the game, the team you're going to play. Seeing the other guys, it's not too bad. Like I was talking to Amy the other day. You know, we see the Vegas guys here and there. But it's actually the team you're playing. Really don't want to see them at all, especially during on game days. But you do. You run into them everywhere.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't like that either. I always found it difficult to walk that line between, you know, even the guy, and then you know guys on the other team, and you not say hi. It's so different. Baseball, they'd be like, yeah, whatever, not a big deal. We can chat and live it up. But hockey's got a different feel than that.
Can you imagine how pissed off Darryl would be? Are you guys cutting deals over there?
Yes.
He would be losing his mind. Losing his mind.
What got the Stars now? Do you like the matchup, or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I mean, I think, you know, we were talking about it even before the game. St. Louis, you know, every team you face is going to be good now. I mean, they're going to have their challenges. You know, Jamie Benn looks good, Bishop. You know, but it was funny, last game, watching, really, Perry played real well. Pavelski scores the big goal. You know, they got the old guys that, you know, the Sagans and all those guys, and then they brought in the old guard and Pavelskis and Perrys to try to get over the hump. So, you know, they're a big team. They were moving. That Garyanov looked unbelievable yesterday. I said, coaches, we may want to mention this guy's flying right now. You know, so, you know, as we move forward, it's going to be a tough matchup. We've had a, you know, it's one of those where I think the guys, especially for a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, I think it's better. You know, as we talked about Matthew, I don't think he would have loved playing St. Louis. That wouldn't have been his first choice. I mean, he would have been fine. But, you know, now to be able to play Dallas is, you know, takes a little bit off his plate too.
Do you like, I was going to ask you this, the whole play-in thing, not that it's going to look like this, but there is talk that maybe it's time to try and incorporate a play-in, maybe a 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, and involve a few teams down the stretch. Would you be all right with having that sort of a, maybe it's a best of 3 or just a little addition before the playoff starts?
I know, you know, I mean, Brad mentioned the same thing yesterday in the bus. I just think there's so many games. Like, if you want to cut down some games in the regular season.
Yeah, let's play 76 games first.
Yeah, like, I have no problem, but we're never going to do that. And it's you know, everybody is like, we love to see more games. I love the idea. But I know that's a lot of games. That's a lot of games. Like, when we went to the finals that year, right, like, I was beat. Like, you're tired. I can't imagine throwing on another, you know, if it's a 5-game series or 3-game series or anything. I mean, you're just taking so many more. Your body's just taking that beating, and the intensity is so much higher. You know, I can totally see why everybody wanted it. Because, you know what, the parity in the league, the 12th place teams, both of them are in. Like, anybody can win, but for me, I would stick to 16 for now, at least, until you tell me, hey, yeah, we'll play 76 games. And we're going to add a playoff round. Then I'd say, okay, no problem. But if you're not going to do that, then I just think it's too much on the guys. And, you know, but not too much for the fans. The fans will probably love it.
Fans would love it. Fans would. 12 versus 5. It's the NCAA bracket. Yeah. 12 always beats 5.
It always beats 5. It's amazing.
What do you mean? What's your as a spectator, and obviously your teams have been involved. When you guys specifically played your 8:30 games, you were quite ready. The early games, you didn't look like you were quite as ready. Here, you get a 3:30, two 8:30s, and then a noon start. What did you learn from the earlies that maybe you can apply now moving forward?
Well, I think the guys are just coming to us, just telling us what they want to do now. You know, like we just set a schedule and went. You know, I think now they said, okay, if we have the 3:30 game, some guys do want to skate, some guys don't. You know, if the noon game, just you have to play it like a regular afternoon game. But the 8:30 is kind of in our schedule. You know, it just feels like that's normal. You know, even though for me it's a little late, I'm like about 7:30. But, you know, other than that, they like that. But, yeah, the 3:30 game, I think the guys will want to get a little skate in and do more than just sit around.
Well, you know, and again, those afternoon games without fans, even harder, right? Like if you're going into a rink full of people and they're making noise, your emotions and intensity is going to obviously rise to that occasion. But when it's quiet and it's you trying to get it yourself pumped up, it's a little tougher.
Well, it feels like, you know how we go to the alumni skate? Then you have the after. That's what it is. I'm like, this is, it's weird. Yeah, come on. You can hear the guys trying to get each other going on the bench, get them fired up. So, you know, it's definitely not, your adrenaline's not pumping. And it's a Stanley Cup playoff game. That's the hardest thing for me to grasp when I'm watching. I'm like, this thing is a Stanley Cup. What is going on down there? You know, and then, but you know what? The quicker we get into it with a big hit or whatever, and that's why, you know, I think Lucha's fight in the last game. Look, I mean, you could just feel the energy in the building just from that. Okay, here we go, boys. Like, game on. So I think we got to try to get it, you know, and that's what we talked about. Hey, if we can get the puck in early, get some hits, get some energy, at least in the team. You know, you don't get energy in the building anymore. Now it's just amongst the team. So it's not easy, but, you know, I think the guys, as they do it more often, are going to get better at it.
I do want to let you go. I know you've got your cardio to get in, but before, I guess just a few things. Watching this team, it just feels a little bit different than in years past. It felt like maybe before you had your Gaudreaus and Monahans, and then you'd have to bring in some help from the outside, whether it was by way of trades or free agency. But watching this team right now, the important players in many ways are guys that you have brought up. And now that you're in this AGM, you're out there scouting and watching these guys, what's the sense of pride for you like to see a Mangiapane, a Dubé, these younger players now, Rasmus Anderson? These are guys that ordinarily, to get this type of contribution, you'd be giving up those draft picks and more to hopefully get those guys brought in. It's a different feel, I'm guessing, for you personally because you've been involved, but also just from a bigger sense. This is a lot of homegrown, and I'll throw Bennett in there as well, because I know you were a big part of watching him in his draft year.
Well, it's all of them. I mean, you figure Johnny, Monty, you know, it's weird when you sit there, you're thinking the first line, okay, we made the trade for Lindholm, but the other two guys, homegrown. You know, then you got Backlund, Kachuk, they're all homegrown. You know, like we drafted them, we brought them in, you know, having Manji on that line, you know, and you look, then you go to Bennett's line. Yeah, we got Luch. But Dubé, two of the three on every line seems like, and that's, it just shows you that's what you're going to have to do, because you can't go out and you can't pay free agents all this money all the time, and you can't just make all these trades because it's tough. So you have to draft well, and I give credit to the, you know, Todd Buck and his staff. They've done an amazing job. You know, the Brodies, Gio's, you know, a free agent, you know, signing. It's amazing how you build teams, because you look at other teams, and if you don't have a lot of homegrown guys, it's going to be hard in the salary cap world to have success. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's not just the first rounders. You know, I think everybody says, you know, we take pride in every pick is important. Every pick, you know, I believe that more than anybody, probably being a six-round pick. You know, it's not just the first rounders, because you always feel like they only care about their first rounders. But, you know, I think that's for us. Every pick matters. And if these free agents, I mean, Connor Mackey had an unbelievable camp in Calgary, So I'm really looking forward to what he can do next year. I mean, and that gives us a sense of what we can do moving forward. We feel this guy has a chance to play right away, and that's going to help our team.
I'm curious, and again, you may or may not have an answer to it, but with Mangiapane, with Dubé, again, second round, but he was captain of the World Junior team, had closer to Calgary. Mangiapane didn't have those type of world stages in order to flaunt his skills. What do you remember about watching him? Because, again, here's a guy who's a little bit undersized, but obviously there's something there. Do you have any stories or watchings from his draft year that you recall?
You know, it's like everything. You know, when we drafted Fox, you know, right away, Jim Cummins wanted him. First meeting was adamant. So, like, oh, you're like, I got to watch this Fox. Like, you know, this is a guy that's on the radar early. Terry Dorn loved Manji. You know, he was all over him. He's like, I know this is what – these are the weaknesses. These are the strengths. This is why we need to draft him. I mean, even at the draft table, he's like, we got to get Manji. You know, like, this is a perfect – you know, and he wasn't like he was not having good seasons. I mean, he had 100-point years in junior. So, but people just thought size just was a factor again. So, you know, and we said, hey, he's got something special. But instead of just going with a bigger guy that can – he was good at a lot of things. You know, let's take a chance on a smaller guy, but special. I mean, I do think you can't have a whole team of those.
Sure.
But, you know, to go and grab him and, you know, and see how well he's done. I mean, right from the time he got to the American League, he's put the work in. He just wants to be a player. And he's like a little pit bull out there. I mean, he's not going to be denied. And that's what you need. He was high character. You go in and talk to him and Barry. That's the one thing they always said. This guy is, you know, competitive. He wants to be a player, and he's going to be a player. He's going to play in the NHL because he's got that will. And you're like, okay, you know, perfect. That's what you want to hear.
So what's up for today? You're moving hotels. You got a game tomorrow. What's your day before
you
game?
You going to watch tonight?
Yeah, what's the
plan? Yeah, going to watch the draft lottery. Can't believe it. Cannot believe it. Someone's going to get a friend. Yeah, you know, it's amazing, but it is what it is. You know, I guess if we would have lost, we would have been thinking, okay, we lost, but at least we have a chance at the first overall pick. But, yeah, we're going to go to practice, move hotels, practice, and then draft lottery. That's kind of the day. Maybe a little workout now. That's it.
All right.
Do a little extra for me, Connie.
Yeah, throw some squats in there. My hammies are real tight.
I think it's going to be good for me because there's not much else to do. We can work out, watch games, and that's about it.
Connie,
I think I got a 10 o'clock. I got a 10 o'clock scouting meeting too, a pro scouting meeting.
Oh, good. But
that's in the, when we move over, so I might have to miss it.
That's right. Yeah, priorities. Right. Had to talk to the radio. Thanks, buddy.
Exactly.
Stay in touch. All right.
Have
good luck.
Day. Okay. Bye, Retro. Bye.
All right.
There he is, Craig Conroy.